Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Queer Quadrant, a podcast where we, two bisexual filmmakers, examine cinema in all its cultural contexts and explore why your favorite four-quadrant blockbuster is maybe not as straight as you think it is.
Has any character in the history of cinema over the course of three movies gone through less character change than Sharpay Evans?
Gabriella Montez.
Wow, right back with an answer. Actually, follow up, Troy Bolton also.
Troy Bolton at least decides things.
He finally comes to a decision here.
Sorry, follow up, Kelsey, I don't even know her last name. Like, it's Kelsey Piano. Like, I don't know.
Actually, I have another follow up thing here. So we have our big six at the end who, like, you know, they're all leaping or whatever together.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Kelsey not in the six? Kelsey feels like she should be a core
because,
six member.
I mean, this is what you get in a franchise.
Is this queer
and
erasure?
High School Musical, no. It's High School Musical is a franchise.
The six
people, I'm sure, were locked into different types
contracts.
Of contracts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's just how it is.
Well, you know what it is it's fucked up, is that's what it is.
I don't think it's that fucked up, I'm going to be honest.
Considering
we just referred to her as Kelsey Piano.
Does she have a last name?
Yeah, Kelsey Nielsen.
Oh,
I'm so sorry. That's my fault.
Do we think Mrs. Darvis has a first name?
No.
Nope.
Just Mrs.? She came out of the womb and was like, that is a fucking Mrs. right
she
there.
She came out the womb.
It's like Drama Darvis.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, she was fresh out of the womb with the feather boa and the glasses and the clipboard. She knew.
And if you look for her now somewhere in the world, she looks the exact same.
Oh, yeah.
She never ages.
It's not out of place. No.
I will say, she almost made me cry in this movie. The speech that she gives Troy, where Troy, after the song Scream, when he's in the gym, she's like, ah, yes, we all come to the theater to think. But she's like, it's you, Troy, who has to make your decision.
And he does.
I put your name in.
Sorry,
I was like, wow, allyship.
No, you're forgetting something there. Troy says, oh, I've come here. So sorry, as you just said, it's after
yes.
the song Scream.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes in and she catches him. And he's like, oh, I just came here to think.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, a lot of us come here also to scream. So, you know.
She heard that performance.
Like, she gets it, okay?
She saw the spinning hallway. She was like, oh my God, Troy.
The production value.
Christopher Nolan, I gotta get him on the phone.
Oh my God, okay, there's too many bits that we have to go back to.
Firing things out.
Okay, clearly we're really excited to talk about
this movie. I have been rearing for this
episode. Oh, I know. Hi, I'm Brooke Solomon.
Jordan Gustafson.
We love talking about cinema. We love talking about being queer. We mm-hmm. love talking about queer cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And today is honestly, in many ways, the end of an era.
No!
What? Sorry.
This is our final episode, everybody.
No.
Surprise.
It's just that I never really thought that we would end up in one way or another covering all three High School Musical movies.
And yet.
But today's the day where we're covering High School Musical 3 senior year. And honestly, there's no one who is better suited to help us bring the Wildcats home. We're joined today by writer and editor Ella Kemp. It's an honor. It's a privilege. I can't believe you picked this movie.
Hey, Wildcat.
Hi, guys. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks
what
for having
delight.
Me.
Can you believe the giant Wildcat head that they have in the fucking stadium during that opening
mm-hmm.
number, where it's just like the biggest, like, production designed Wildcat head? Like, no high school on earth would have it.
I think that, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Right. You go for it.
Now, no. But I think. I've been meaning to ask you this, and I think for the sake of
yes.
everyone listening, can you please tell me what the budget on this film is?
Yes.
And also in comparison to the first two films, because I haven't looked this up, shamefully, but having rewatched it recently, like, I've always loved this film, and I've been waiting years to talk about it, but I didn't know. I was like, maybe I was wrong and deluded and a child, because, you know, this happens a lot with many films I like. But I rewatched it today, and
it's so good.
It's so good, but not just in a way that it's kind of linking back to something that, I don't know, awakened whatever in me as a child. But like, as you say, like the production value on this, just, it's ridiculous. Like yeah. in every single way, like the songwriting, I mean, obviously, you know, the same actors, whatever, but also those actors must be getting more expensive with each film. Mm-hmm. So anyway, all these things, please oh, yeah. tell me how much. Yeah.
It's actually more impressive when you find out how mm-hmm. little they made these movies for, which oh. leads me to believe that the actors did not make significantly more money unless they were like
tied down somehow.
And or I don't know if they like got a portion of like the box office returns or something like that.
You
but
got like 0.1% of this box office returns, you'd be living forever.
Yeah. Here's the thing. High School Musical 1 was $4.2 million budget wise. High School sure. Musical 2 was $7 million. Sure. You get more locations, you get a little bit of a bump up. High School Musical 3 was only $11 million. Oh. It's not that much more.
It's fucked
no.
up.
Which makes wow. one, the production value of this, and two, the box office returns mm-hmm. incredibly impressive.
What did it
like,
take?
Okay, this is actually one of the most impressive like movie musical like teen debuts in theaters. Not only did this premiere number one handily, it made $90 million domestically.
Oh my god.
And $275 million worldwide.
Wow.
Like
those high schoolers are set for life.
It's
that's so huge.
Absolutely crazy. It's so bananas. I have to think that because apparently part of the decision to put it into theaters was the quote unquote ballooning budget. Oh, boo hoo, you had to pay $11 million for right. this movie.
Yeah.
I assume that like the lead actors were like, we'll take whatever scale we were getting before, but you have to give us a portion of the box office.
For
I don't
sure.
know.
Yeah.
This is an intelligent guess. But like,
I think also
shit's crazy.
You wow. the first two were very clearly made for TV and like style and like the aspect ratio and everything, but the minute this film opens, it's in like 2:35. It's Troy Bolton's face dripping sweat, high quality. It's insane.
It's so fucking sick.
It's mm-hmm. so
like,
good.
The drama. Okay, I mean, look, we could go frame by frame on this film.
I think we have to. Yeah, we're going 7 hours.
But like when. In that first song, Now or Never, that's it. I was going to start singing it, and I will start singing one of the other ones.
Please
you can, yes.
And yeah, in the middle of Now or Never, towards like the bridge, the bit where like Gabriella, she's in this white dress, and she just kind of leaps out of the crowd.
Stands up.
Like this kind of fucking ghost or angel or whatever.
Yes.
And just says... And like yells the word Troy as if she is like fucking Helen, you know.
Yes.
I studied that a long time ago, but I'm imagining that's how it goes. But it's like it's deranged. It's like this game doesn't matter that much. Also, what are you doing? Like you're not saving the game. Like you're just going to be distracting him. Like you're going to make it worse. Like and why just fucking play? It's
I know.
So weird. And yet when they look at me, I'm like, oh god.
And yet it's very effective. It's on par yeah. to me with like The Natural when Glenn Close stands and there's like a beam of light on
yes.
her
yes.
in the
yes.
middle of the stadium and Redford's like, this one's for
That's
Glenn.
My woman.
Like it's crazy. She emerges out of a
yeah.
sea of like
wildcat red
spotlit perfectly.
It rules.
It's the actual like you can tell I think the biggest difference between the made for TV-ness of the first two and this one is the actual lighting.
Yes.
Like immediately when they go into the locker room you're like holy shit, it's 3-point lighting. It's not
yeah.
it's not just like they're walking
overhead,
into whatever
yeah.
the sitcom setup is
yes.
like which
yeah.
You know, and Ella, I'm sure you'll agree, but we've been beating the Kenny Ortega
O'Tour
drum for a very long time.
Criterion when?
It's just like, okay, what is he? Do you know what he's doing now?
Well,
I miss him.
He just did. He's like very into the Descendants movies. Like he like Aww. Wrapped up that series, which is like
that's
fine or whatever. But like not a ton. I mean, like it's really his earlier like career stuff that's like bananas and is like kind of gay icon shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like where he does Xanadu, St. Elmo's Fire with Joel Schumacher.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they fucked?
No, I think that they're old queens and they're friends. I don't think they fucked.
Okay. Well, Joel Schumacher famously, you know, 1,000+. So, But yeah, no, I don't know. It's not a ton. And I really think that it's like maybe he's old and tired.
I think that he's just he
and
has.
Rich?
Yeah.
Like he's, where do you go from here?
He's
like,
so rich.
You, I guess. Yeah.
Plenty of money.
Good for him.
He pops up to direct Netflix series. He is big on the TV world, like we said, the Descendants, some Crazy Ex-Girlfriends, some Julian the Phantoms. Like, he's around. But he made most of his, like, big movies in the 80s and the 90s.
Mm. Yeah.
And, like, specifically as the choreographer. But for the most part, like, I mean, the fact that he directed Newsies is just insane
iconic.
And incredible, because one, that's one of the best choreographed like movie musicals.
Little Christian Bale.
Yeah. And it's crazy that like now he just directs, I mean straight to TV movies. Good for him. But Newsies, I think, is like a masterpiece.
Yeah. Do you like Hocus Pocus?
I am very neutral on it.
I don't like that movie. And I feel like I was
it's like, have I know I've seen it. Like, I think I've seen it. But also, I couldn't tell you anything that I think about it.
People
like,
get
it's a
so
movie
up
that
in
exists,
arms about it, though. Yeah,
I guess. But I think that could also, like, I'm not even making a joke about this. I think it could be because in my childhood / adolescent / whatever years this was, I was so preoccupied with High School Musical.
As you should be.
That I just like, and I just couldn't tell you what else I watched. I was such a Disney kid. Not necessarily in like a memorabilia sense or like going to Disney World that often.
Like the channel.
Disney Channel.
It's just, yeah, just all I watched was Disney Channel. But it didn't even feel obsessive. It was just like, that was just the only option. I was like, this is the only thing that's good. Yeah. And I watched everything on there. Like,
what were your shows?
Wizards of Waverly Place.
The best.
Of course.
The best.
Fantastic. I mean, well, Lizzie McGuire was way before that, wasn't it? That's So Raven, every Sweet Life variation.
Yes, yes.
What else? Oh,
were you,
Hannah,
were
Montana.
You Hannah Montana.
Oh my god,
okay.
Oh my god, huge. Hannah Montana the movie,
a classic.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that movie like so many times.
It's I love it. Oh, it's very exciting. It's just I love it. It's beautiful.
What were
but
you
yeah,
big?
And then just the High School Musical.
Yeah, ones. High School Musical. I feel like High School Musical like ruled
it
them
ruled
all.
Everything. Yes.
It was just it. Like, and also my memory's really bad, just generally, of anything that happened over like more than 3 years ago. So like when I went to, so I rewatched High School Musical 2 and 3 for this, because the first one I was like, I don't know if that's overboard, like even for me.
It's
right
not.
Now.
It's, no. Shit,
like,
shit whips.
I just, well, it does, but does it? Like it does.
Wow.
But no. But I feel quite protective of Zac Efron and the fact that he didn't sing in that film. And that upset me. And also it was the fact that he thought he was singing and he did sing and then they changed it. That's what upsets me with it. Yeah. So obviously, like, since I've read more about that, I'm kind of like, I don't want to rewatch it. But so when I was logging, like, the second and third one on Letterboxd, I'd put them down, obviously, that I'd seen them, because I know that for a fact. But you know when you're, like, logging your first rewatch? Do you know what I mean? Like, when you're logging something that you've seen before, but you have to click, I've seen this before.
Yeah.
Which means that you haven't logged it on Letterboxd already. So I hadn't logged either of these on Letterboxd. And I don't know, I started using Letterboxd in, like, 2017, maybe. So I haven't seen it since like at least, you know, like
2016.
I guess 2016 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just have no memory as to like, I couldn't tell you how many times I've watched them. Not in a like, oh, I've watched them so many times. I genuinely don't know. But it must be loads, because when I rewatched both of them, I still remember like every little beat. And even before we talked about this podcast, there are some bits of High School Musical 3 that are in my head all the time, like just for no reason.
What? Give an example.
Okay, so the words "getting ready."
Yes,
I think of the song "A Night to Remember" in High School Musical 3 when, you know, when they're getting ready for the prom, and the girls being like, "Getting ready,
getting ready, yep.
Yeah, that whole thing."
Every morning, Ella wakes
basically,
up. The sun
every
is shining.
Time I get ready. I think of that, and then I think of the bit when the guys like are getting in that same song when the guys are getting stressed out, And they're like, don't know what a corsage is. And I'm like, I don't know why that's in my head all the time.
It's but because like, it's an excellent rhyme. They rhyme massages with corsage is. And that, I mean, hello. It's so good.
Just why? And I'm just, I feel like it's because it's quite funny. It's when funny. Like
it is.
when anyone who speaks English says the word corsage, like it's just quite ridiculous. Like, why do any of us say it? Like, why corsage. Is it called that?
Yeah,
it's just quite funny. And obviously, like, there's this Vicky Creeps film called Corsage at the moment, so it's been even more in my head. Anytime anyone talks about it now, I'm like, oh, please stop. I was like, shut
what
up,
a
shut
corsage
up.
Is
yep. Honestly. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know why, because I hadn't listened to, because there are some musicals that I will listen to the soundtrack like all the time, like when I'm working, like I listen to Mamma Mia all the time, Hairspray and all that. But
perfect musicals, yes.
Yeah, perfect musicals. But the High School Musical ones, I really don't listen to the soundtracks. I don't know why. Like that's a mistake for me. But I don't know how they're in my head so much all the time.
I think that
I feel similarly.
If you watch these types of movies, first of all, they're incredibly catchy. And I oh think God, if yeah. you watch them at a certain period of your life, you have no choice but to like let it be ingrained.
They're ingrained
I think
forever.
Your yeah. brain, everyone talks about how malleable your brain is when you're like a little kid. But I think specifically from the ages of, let's just say 11 to 16, any pop culture that you consume, I feel like just sticks in your brain mm-hmm. forever.
Yeah.
I could mm-hmm. sing you every word of at least High School Musical 1 and 2 and most of 3.
Yeah.
And I don't listen to the soundtracks.
No.
Again, a mistake. I definitely should. But like, it just, it mm-hmm. sticks. It's in your brain forever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then on the flip side, I listen to the Hairspray soundtrack very often, but I don't just randomly have like Good Morning Baltimore in my head.
Well, speak for yourself.
I mean, I do wake up every morning, fling open the door and say that. So
that did actually used to be my alarm when I
oh
was in middle school.
I feel like
that's mm-hmm. so funny.
Every
this episode
morning.
Could get like personal. I feel like there's a lot that this movie is like throwing at us
mm-hmm.
in
yeah.
like terms of like things and like growing up and like experiencing High School Musical : senior
oh, yeah.
year.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, 3 senior year.
I was 11 when this film came out, so I was not preparing to go to college, but I think that this film taught me a lot about the college preparation
experience.
Process.
I think so. What
and
did
the
you see this in theaters?
Hard choices you have to make. I didn't.
Did you see this in theaters?
Oh yeah.
Okay, I didn't see. Yeah. So my sister saw this in theaters. I didn't see it in theaters, which is fucked up. But we have the DVD, so I saw it on DVD. But I don't know what like my growth was with this movie, but like I never really loved it as much growing up. Like my like 1 and 2 were the ones that we rewatched the most in the house for sure. And now in retrospect, I'm going to have to make a decision of which of the three I like the most. But I remember seeing this and I thought it was like fine and didn't really love the songs. But this one has aged, I think, the best of the three, having had us like revisited them. And like I got very emotional watching this movie this time. Like
it's...
what it's tackling is kind of deep or like
yeah.
not deep potent.
No, say
potent
it.
Yeah
look, it. It's
look,
deep.
Look when you're in a relationship in high school and you're talking about these things and you're talking about different schools and career tracks, it brought up old memories. I was like, oh my God,
yeah.
I remember all
yeah,
these conversations. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very potent.
I think that I was discouraged from being too interested in this movie specifically when I was a kid, because for as long as I can remember, my parents have always been strictly like, if you date someone in high school, do not bring that relationship to college with you. Like, that
I should have learned that.
Seared into me like nothing else. So I think that, of course, I've learned the error of my ways now. I think that this movie is a masterpiece, but I think that
yeah.
initially, sort of like the 1 and 2 versus mm-hmm. 3 debate, I was always like, well, 3, you know, they should obviously just break up. Like
do they stay together or not?
You mean in the long term?
Yeah, long term.
I say that they do because they're both such cheese balls that I don't think that either of them would actually break up.
I think
with
they
the
have a kid
person.
At like 22.
Yep, they are the couple from your high school that got married at 22 and now has 7 children.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Similar with Sharpay, because Sharpay like stays around to like work in the high school. So I'm like, Sharpay, girl.
Only for a year,
only
though.
Only for a year.
And
right.
I think the idea is that she does it to get back at this girl who's trying to replace her.
What's her fucking name?
Tiara
whoever. Gold. Yeah.
Because we will be tangentially discussing Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure, I'm sure.
A film I have not seen.
I haven't seen that one, actually.
Oh my god, you guys. Ooh. Okay, so Sharpay's... So
hang on, it's a whole feature.
Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure was a direct-to-video spinoff about Sharpay going to New York and trying to, like, land a role on Broadway. It's a feature-length film.
Wow.
Yeah. Jesus. It came out in 2011.
Next Sunday. Yeah.
We'll see you here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is camp incarnate. There's a subplot about her dog and another dog falling in love, and there's, like, literal songs about it. It's bananas.
Great.
But she goes to New York shortly after, you know, apparently having this stint in the local high school theater.
In Albuquerque.
So she's out of there. And she's, by the way, she is she does not have a romantic interest at the beginning of Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure. Yeah. So.
Austin Butler, though.
Yeah, Austin Butler is in Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure.
Yes. Sorry, bury the lead.
He dances like Elvis in it, actually. It's kind of very risque.
God. Wow.
He's the male lead, and he is young and blonde and has like a Troy Bolton haircut and a guitar.
Okay. Oh my god, sorry. Because another thing that I... Hang on.
It's a lot to take in.
Did you have an Austin Butler crush growing up?
Yeah, because I watched him in The Carrie Diaries.
Yeah.
Which was the Sex and the City prequel. I never watched Sex and the City, but I watched The Carrie Diaries. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh shit, that guy. Yeah, no, so Elvis, this has been... Also, sorry, all of this connects because you know... Do you know who the first person... who told him that he should one day play Elvis?
If it was Kenny Ortega, I'm gonna scream.
Zac Efron?
No, it was Vanessa Hudgens. They dated for 9 years.
Yeah, because they dated for forever.
Right, after Zac Efron broke up. Yeah, yes. After the breakup.
And then, I don't know what point in the relationship, but she was the one who told him that he should one day play Elvis.
An ally, a queen.
Wow. Maybe her best
Can
contribution.
Can you believe it?
Brooke,
you know I'm kind
baby
of
baby V.
You know I'm kind of a Vanessa Hudgens hater.
Vanessa Hudgens, that first album kind of whips.
People are gonna die,
and it's horrible, but also like inevitable.
Inevitable. Maybe that's her best contribution.
I think we quoted that on every high school musical episode.
For it.
I do, while we're on the Vanessa Hudgens topic, I want to say that it, as all trilogies must have tabloid controversies. This was like, at this point, the cast of High School Musical was popular enough that there was controversy.
They were so big.
Yeah.
There was some nude photo leak surrounding Vanessa Hudgens, and there were like rumors that she was going to be dropped from the film and stuff like that.
I remember
Disney gave like a really shitty 2008 statement where they were like, Vanessa like realizes that she has made a mistake and we're still going to like, you know, have her in the film, where it's like, okay, let's not. Obviously she is in this film, but
she's great.
That was a big deal. I can't believe you remember that.
Oh my God.
Okay. All of this epitomizes how good of an actress Vanessa Hudgens is, because anything I have seen Vanessa Hudgens like say or do as Vanessa Hudgens, not being an actor, I cannot stress how I don't want to say I hate her, but I hate it, like everything about what I see in
the I'm not vibes. Interested in the vibe.
I can't stand it. I'm like, how, like, get away from this camp, like, who lets you use a camera? Whereas in these films, she's so lovely.
So charming.
So charming.
I love their relationship.
She makes me so emotional. Like, the way she looks at Troy.
Yes.
It's just lovely. And she's very good.
Right here, right now, and what is it?
Sorry, can I have this dance? Are you joking?
They're so good. I love those songs so much.
Oh, it's so beautiful. And I need to know if you get this as well. Now, obviously, when I first saw this film, I was like 12, I think. Obviously, they're much older than me. And I was like, wow, they look so grown up and they're dancing on a rooftop and whatever. I'm now 26. I watched this film. And I still feel like, oh, they're like 3 years older than me.
Yeah.
Yep.
How does that work?
Yep. Like, we aged with them.
I don't understand, but like, I know they're not like 35 in the film, but just how, I don't get it, because I watched it and I was like, oh, when I grow up, like maybe I'll waltz and mm-hmm. like, oh, maybe my boyfriend can get a leather jacket like him or something. Like, this is so stupid.
You're slipping things into like an Amazon wish list.
I do think there's always going to be this sense of like aspiration to them, especially the Troy and Gabriella relationship. Yeah. I think like this might be the best movie for their relationship, because
it's so good.
Like we only think that they're maybe going to break up because of things like life and college and not Sharpay coming in between them. Yeah. Thank God they didn't do that again. But like the picnic that they have with pizza and chocolate covered strawberries, as we mentioned, the iconic Vanessa Hudgens rising out of the bleachers moment. Like mm-hmm. it's so achingly romantic
when he goes to her school for their prom. Mm-hmm.
That's so cute. It's really cute. Oh no, and then oh my god, on stage when he's like talking about which college he's going to, and then when he's counted how many miles away it is from her college. Okay, I know that he performs and, you know, is comfortable on stage and all this kind of thing, but that's ridiculous. Like at school, you know, to just casually be like, wow, I'm so interesting and clever and cool, and also this is my girlfriend and mm-hmm. I've counted the miles from her school. I'm just like, I don't know how far away my boyfriend lives. Like, I don't know these
a thousand
things.
Miles, so I could just see
know.
You
it's
you know
maybe like I don't know like 10 miles. Maybe
you're
it's
like,
20
it's this long.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know his phone number. Like, just, and I'm just like,
I don't know his name.
Well, you know,
I don't know what he looks like.
The phone number is a good call, though, because I've been dating my boyfriend for over 6 years, and probably
that's
in the
crazy.
Last 6 months, I was like, I really should memorize your phone number. Like, if I am ever in the middle of nowhere, I have it. I obviously won't say it on.
Say
mic.
It on mic. Say it on mic.
But I have it now. It's in the brain Rolodex. But for a long time, it wasn't. And I was like, this is kind of essential for emergency purposes. But like, it's the romanticism of
so
like knowing things about these
people.
But
also, I felt like I memorized people's numbers a lot when I was a teenager. But was that because we used landlines?
Yes. Yes. That's what I don't know anybody's number anymore.
I don't know anything now.
My phone is always on me and I just know that I can pick it up and call someone.
I only have like the core essentials like memorized.
Basically like the emergency numbers.
Right. Yeah. 911.
It's like, okay. But why do I know? Okay, in that case, why do I know all of the lyrics to all of these songs, which I haven't like listened to in like 6 or 7 years, and I don't know anyone's phone number currently in my life?
I'm telling
they're like
you,
baked in when you're a kid and they never leave.
It's that stage of your life, because I still remember my home phone number mm-hmm. and like all these numbers that I needed to know when I was like 12 and I didn't have a cell phone yet. But like I really do think that like, and also the older that you get and the more responsibilities you get, the more crowded your brain becomes. Like now I need to put like the recipe for vodka pasta somewhere in my brain when like I didn't have to worry about that when I was 14. I had room for all the High School Musical lyrics.
Yes.
And now they're just in there and it's too late. Oh, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Like I felt quite proud of myself, like watching the film and then like I was watching it earlier today when like I was in the kitchen and I was like baking something and watching, and I was like, oh, I'm not gonna be annoying and sing along to all these songs while my boyfriend's in the other room. And I was like oh no, I'll put my headphones in, like don't worry, you won't have to listen to it. And then like as soon as any song started, I was like, I can't not
your
sing
mouth
to this.
Starts
like,
moving.
I was just like, I don't know if this is maybe worse, just hearing me like mumble the occasional bit that I want to like harmonize to instead
right here.
It was so awful. And when I would just be harmonizing Kelsey's bits when she's duetting with Ryan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The greatest bearding couple of all time.
Oh, we will talk about it.
Okay. Right. We need to get into that because
there's so much to get into.
There's so much to get into because before coming on this podcast, like, because the last time we spoke about Bad Education.
Yeah.
That's a very similar
and I thought,
film.
Very similar film.
Set in high school.
It's set in high school. It should be a musical. But so when we spoke about that, I thought, okay, like it's not hard. Like I know in every which way how this film is queer. and it's great. And I love it for that. And I rewatched High School Musical 2 and I was like, okay, you know,
the baseball
scene.
We've
all like, yes. Sure, baseball scene. And like, bet on it. I'm like, come on. Okay, all of that. And I was watching this film and I was very disappointed because I remember watching this as a teenager, as a straight teenager, and I was like, oh, Troy and Gabriella, like, that's it. And I was like, oh, cool, whatever. But also, like, I was just a teenager. I didn't know about the world. But I watch it now, and I was like, oh, maybe, like, I missed stuff. And, like, I feel like this film is quite straight.
Here's the thing. I would argue that this is the straightest of the three.
Yeah.
I would argue that one is more queer than this movie. First of all, one is campier. This is a... maybe a better produced movie, but it does not have
less gay.
The camp.
Like, the angst
factor.
Is very straight.
The angst is very
like,
straight.
I feel like they're trying to, like, they kind of dump everything on, well, most things onto Sharpay and Ryan doing I Want It All, because the production of that, sensational.
So gay.
Oh, so gay.
Incredible.
So fantastic. I love that. But then I feel like what makes that song so good is so unlike so much of the rest of the film. Mm. And it's just, yeah. And I'm just like, okay, like Troy doing Scream, Chad and, you know, all of them doing
The Boys
Now
Are
or
Back.
Never. The Boys Are Back. Like, all of
we gotta get the boys back.
That song is so shit. Like, that's the one bit where I'm just like, oh.
She likes it.
No. To be clear, I like the production and the, I think that might be my favorite.
The Mad Maxi vibes.
I Want It All is the best choreography, but I love the choreography in The Boys Are Back.
I like the tire when you roll on a tire.
Remind you, the song is literally... like, it's so like, what?
It's basic. So...
Because I feel like so many of the songs in this film, I can directly see which seminal pop artists it's like
riffing.
So linked to. And I mean, that's a compliment. Like, there's so much Britney. I think there's so much NSYNC. And like, they're trying to fucking like glam rock in a lot of places, like, oh, Scream and all of it. It's, yeah, fantastic. What was my point? Oh, yeah, it's very straight.
Yeah.
I will say, I think it's the straightest, but I think there are like, I think the queerness comes in different places. I think Miss Darvis, for one, is Miss Darvis and Kelsey are lesbian icons, point blank. I think everything with Rocket Man is kind of coded with Rocket
Man. I disagree. He's
so straight. I fancied like five different Rocket Men.
They call him Rocket Man, which is Elton John. Elton John, of course, a gay man. Follow up to it, the hazing ritual. The hazing ritual where they take, that is very clearly coded.
No, it's not.
I'm not with you
really?
On this one. I gotta be honest.
Well, there are articles on the internet that agree with me, so.
Well, if there are articles.
Okay, but I will say, I think you can, the stand-in though, of I think there is a bisexual angle though to this movie with Troy's decision.
Yes,
which
that,
very
yeah,
much
like
looms over
a bisexual angle,
it.
Definitely.
For sure, yeah.
Which is, so basically, like the biggest sort of parallel that I see is that High School Musical 1 is a giant bisexuality metaphor for can you have basically the effeminate thing and the masculine thing at the same time and find a harmony in between them. And that is Troy's struggle throughout all three of these movies.
Yes.
And like, basically, although he accepts his bisexuality, so to speak,
finally,
in all of them, like including the first one, I think that he says it loud and proud in front of the whole school at the end here. Like, he's like, he literally says, I choose basketball, but I also choose theater.
Yes.
And most of all, I choose my girl.
Yeah.
And I mean, what is so romantic? But I think that, like, to me, that is like an excellent through line. But I wanted to say, we'll get into Ryan, but this, at this point, because, like, you know, the movies have been gaining popularity. More and more people know about them. This, to me, feels like the movie where they're like, okay, everybody knows that Ryan is coded as gay. And so we have to be very careful about how much Ryan is in this movie and what he's doing.
But the whole thing with Ryan and Kelsey drops so quick, where they're like, Ryan, we need to have you beard for Kelsey. But then it's like, gone.
They're mutual bearding for each other. For they sure, take yes. each other to prom. It's perfect.
I love that Ryan is basically a Fosse stand-in. Like, that was in my notes where I'm just writing. I'm like, oh, Ryan's just doing a Fosse thing.
Sharpay says that at one
and then
point,
exactly
right?
yeah. after it, I was like, oh, I caught, like, that's what they're doing. Like, Ryan is Fosse in this movie. But this movie takes on an All That Jazz superstructure where it's like a movie within a movie about, like, the creators, and that's kind of like what the play they're putting on.
Yeah.
You know? Also, like, we can agree that this film directly set up the series as well.
Oh, of course.
Like, yes. this film, oh, I just find it hilarious that this film set up the series, and now that the next season of it, like, the
they're
cast of the film are
back.
Returning to the series. Like, I can't even begin to comprehend. Like, I know that people, like, you know, we all give a lot of flag and we all laugh and we're like, ha ha ha, hee, Disney film, whatever. But, like, it takes a proper fucking mastermind to understand the levels of,
the
like,
lore.
What is going on in the High School Musical universe, like, present day? Like,
no idea.
I don't, what?
So,
because I think
we talked about this on our High School Musical 1 episode, which was not on our podcast, but on our friend's podcast. We'll link it. But basically, okay, if I have
in
this
High
correct.
High School Musical, the musical, the series.
And Ella, stop me if you already know this. But in High School Musical, the musical, the series, the movie series of High School Musical, it's basically our world and the movie series exists. And the kids in High School Musical, the musical, the series go to the real life East High where
yes.
all the movies were set. So I assume that, like, Lucas Gabriel and Corbin Bleu and Monique Coleman are coming back to play themselves in the new season, because in, like,
yeah.
this world,
yeah, yeah,
which
yeah.
is our world, they're actors.
That's crazy.
No, but also, I'm sure that, like, there was Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens are definitely coming back as well. Like, because they took pictures of themselves. No, because they took, like, they both separately took pictures of themselves at in front of East High.
Oh,
like, a few months ago.
God.
And someone was like, oh, my God, is it going to be a revival? I mean, I think them appearing on the show is a little more boring. But if they appear on the show, we're going to watch.
I will watch that episode, yes.
To be able to see Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens interact
on screen
again,
together.
Because he didn't come to the, like, commemorative 10-year anniversary show that they did.
Look, we can talk about Efron all day. There's so much about that man in that career post-High School Musical.
Yep.
It's wild.
I miss him. It's like, I see him doing things and I'm like, yeah, but you're not you.
Firestarter.
I really do. Every time I see him in something that's action-y or horror, not that I don't think that he has any range, but I just, he's so, I said not that I think that.
Yeah,
I do think, I
that
do.
That's what you really mean.
I do think the man has a level of range, but he is so charming and is such a good dancer and has such a good voice that I don't
yeah.
understand why he's not in every available movie musical. Like, when he was in Greatest Showman, I was like, let's
he's
fucking
so good in
so
it.
So fucking great.
That scene with him and Hugh in the bar, my God.
It's the
it
best scene of the movie.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That also just, oh, him and Zendaya, like, rewrite the stars. It makes me so emotional. It's so beautiful. For two years in a row, I think somehow I said this to you last time. It tends to come up a lot. for 2 years in a row, Greatest Showman basically filled out my whole Spotify Wrapped stats.
I mean, last time we chatted, we were chatting about Hugh Jackman, so it makes
yeah,
sense.
Oh, that's yeah. it. That's how it came up. But yeah, but that was when I think the film, The Greatest Showman, had come out in like November. And yeah, by the end of December, it wasn't just like top album. It was in all five of the individual songs.
The song slots.
Yeah. So then tell me why. I remember all the songs from High School Musical 3 in that same way without having, you know?
The Zefron factor.
It's like it's a High School Musical, like, coming to terms with episode right here. We're figuring out the roots of everything.
I've come here with just many questions for you to just help me work out.
For us to try to unpick your brain.
Please,
I really,
help me.
I feel such a strong connection to the soundtracks of musicals, though, if they're good soundtracks. All I'm going to say is that we should all be very happy that Spotify Wrapped did not exist in 2013 when the Frozen soundtrack would have no doubt filled up every single slot. On
Frozen
my...
2, okay, I mean, kind of links back. Frozen 2 is doing what High School Musical 3 did in terms of the kind of, like, the angst it brings, and like again, it's got like a whole glam rock number in the forest.
A
like,
good glam rock number.
Yeah, like Jonathan Groff's Lost in the Woods is Zac Efron's Scream.
Scream, yes.
But is Scream a good song though?
Yes.
It's lower on my list.
Fucking bangs. Absolutely. Like the fucking like little piano break when he's like on the
when he tears down the gigantic banner of himself.
Yes.
Okay, one of my favorite things that he does in these films is when he's got these like really intense angsty songs and there's like an instrumental break and it just kind of like pauses on his face as if to be like, how's he gonna move? What dance moves? It's like when you're like filming a baby and you're like, what are they gonna do if we just like just leave them wait. There to just and I'm just like, is he gonna just like do a backflip or
I think Zac Efron has incredible stare work, stare dancing, especially in Scream, where he really gets to show it off.
Loves it.
Yeah. But he is so good at the angst and the drama, and I feel like a huge part of his later career was leaning away from that. And I'm like, dude, first of all, you're a heartthrob. Secondly, you can play the angst like nobody's business. Like you should be doing melodrama.
Mm.
You
okay. should, also, a thing about that angst is that one of the things that I love about like him in this franchise is that even when things are going really well, I know we're not here to talk about High School Musical 2, but just like, it does connect. At the very start of that film, when it's about to be summer, everyone's really excited and he looks so stressed. Like, why is he so stressed? It looks
he's got to
like
work.
He's looking at the clock. No, but he's looking at the clock like he knows that a bomb is about to go off.
He's a stressed man. Like,
I just don't understand. And it's the same in this film. It's just, he seems so anxious all the time, even in really nice moments, like just the way that he looks at Gabriella, it's as if he's secretly, like, it's as if he's killed someone and he's coming back and he's like, I have to pretend to try and have a nice time. And I'm just like, but you haven't, like, everything's okay. I don't understand. And I feel like that obviously, you know, would connect with me as a teenager who was just like, it's not even anxious, just like, frowning for no reason.
Yes.
Just frowning.
I think he's anxious about a lot though, you know, like
he's an Gabriella's anxious going.
He's got to decide for basketball or not. You know, the Spring Musicale is coming.
The Spring Musicale. The thing is,
sorry,
like
Musicale. Why Musicale? Like
the worst.
It's the best, I think you mean. I think that yes, they put most of the burden of these movies on Troy's shoulders, even though
on
everyone
his eyebrows.
Has. Yes. You say that he looks like he's killed someone and he's waiting for people to discover the body is unfortunately accurate. Like, it's so accurate.
I'm not happy about it. No, because I'm just like, because I know that he hasn't. And that's why.
Has he?
I'm just like, I don't think he has.
Well, we'll never know.
And that's why I'm just like, of course you haven't. Please calm down. Like, just enjoy yourself. You're so handsome and so
talented. Did you enjoy the end of high school, though? I feel like it was a very stressful time.
Oh, I had a great time. I got an early decision to Emerson College. I was chilling. I was chilling. Yeah. Once I was into college,
I was so anxious.
With my boyfriend. No, I was a coward and didn't break up with my boyfriend at the end of high school. So we had a nice summer and then ended like 2 months later. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, retweet.
Yeah.
First week of college.
Really good. I broke up with my high school boyfriend a month and a half before I left for school.
Wow,
you're clever.
It's okay. We knew that we were going to break up.
How did he ask you to prom? Did we talk about this? I feel like we talked about this maybe on the prom.
Yeah, right? We talked about it on the prom episode. I think the best one was I dated him junior and senior year. Senior year prom, we were on the track team together. And
I was
in the 4x100 relay. I was the last leg, and you know, you have to pass a baton. So someone passed me the baton. I ran. I crossed the finish line, and he came over and he was like, "You should look at the baton." And the baton said "prom"
that's
on
cute.
It.
Aww,
it was
that's
adorable.
Really
cute.
That's really cute.
And then he had some flowers waiting for me.
That's good.
Soup's
Did
cute.
Corsage.
No. he did bring one to prom night.
Okay, yeah. He better have.
Oh yeah. I think that the end of high school is definitely like a very pivotal time, and this movie does a good job like showing what a pivotal time it is. Yeah. But also Troy's particularly stressed out because like this is the last time he has to decide on the bisexual spectrum. How much is he gonna respect basketball or respect theater or do both?
But it's also like the school, there's a lot going on too at the same time. So
yes, I love their meta spring musicale.
It's great. It's like a fucking Schenectady, New York, and that all this stuff.
And that the actual musical is a medley of every song throughout the movie is brilliant, in my opinion. Yeah. Truly brilliant.
Yes, it rules. It's so good. My question for Sharpay, because it brings us back to Sharpay, because I feel like Sharpay in this has a very big role, and she doesn't have... Like, she kind of has to go through the same thing again with this thing that she did in the previous two movies, so it's not a lot of, like, growth for her. But I feel like, on the flip side, Ryan exhibits incredible growth because he really does, push away from her.
Yes. Ryan becomes his own person.
Which is huge. Yes. He has so much to do in this movie.
The fact that he is the recipient of the Juilliard scholarship is...
As it should be.
There's no other way. He has never done anything wrong in any of these movies.
No.
And this feels like the movie where they were like, we need to like recognize and acknowledge and appreciate the fact that Ryan has put up with so much
bullshit.
And like has always performed at the top of his game and has literally never done anything wrong.
Correct. No, it's true.
And Ryan is like the obvious Kenny Ortega stand-in too.
Yes.
He's the choreographer.
Yeah.
He's a flamboyant high schooler.
Yes.
Lucas Gabriel obviously like eats this role. He's alive. So good.
He's so talented. Oh really my gosh.
Yeah.
And he's just so gracious.
Yeah. I wish that I saw him in more stuff. Like, I don't think he had much of a Broadway career, but he clearly has the dance chops to be able to do so.
He feels like the Rupert Grint of the High School Musical franchise.
It's
a good call.
You know what I mean?
Okay, but I really don't want to see him in any kind of horror film.
In Knock Knock or whatever. At the cabin woods door.
Rupert Grint, fine, whatever. He could be in whatever.
Oh, but Lucas in it? Yeah.
Yeah, like Lucas, I'm like, honey, like, please, like, just stay in your lane. Yes. And just because, like, your lane needs you. Like,
yeah.
You're the best in your lane. Like, you need to lead the way for everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he feels like he is someone, I mean, I don't know what his appetite is for acting right now. It seems like he is pretty happy with, like, sort of what he has. But I want to see people along the lines of, like, Ryan Murphy, for better or for worse, and like that level of people use him for like the theatrics, the melodrama,
like
use
Corbin
him in
Blue
musicals
could fit in there.
I think the choreography is constantly what impresses me so much about these films, more so than the lyrics, even though the lyrics are amazing and like the catchiness of the songs, but like the actual choreography is at such a high level, of course. Because Kenny Ortega is an expert choreographer, but like the shit that I feel like especially Corbin Bleu and Zac Efron and Lucas Gabriel are asked to do is very difficult and very fast-paced,
and they do it
and they kill it, as many problems as I have with The Boys Are Back. The choreography in that is extremely impressive.
It is. I mean, we said it earlier, but the I Want It All, like with the revolving sequence where like everyone's in all the different
the
costumes,
Busby
and everything.
Berkeley number,
incredible.
Oh my
god. Gabriella's
like,
in like
later.
A
like later in the film, like when Chad and all the others are doing Now or Never on stage, like with all the basketballs, I'm like, how did none of you drop any of those basketballs? You have to do so many different things, and it's like it's quite fast paced as well. And then when they're doing A Night to Remember, and then when the boys have got their own little dance break and they're doing like really kind of retro moves, I'm like, they're all really going for it. Like, there are no half measures here, and it's really high, like really fast paced. It's just the stamina and the precision across the board.
Well, Chad would never drop a basketball. That thing is with him like a fucking blankie. Like, he does not let go of that basketball.
I think I mentioned this on our High School Musical 2 episode, but my sister and I have played a drinking game to High School Musical 2, and one of the like drinking things was drink every time Chad is holding a basketball.
Every scene.
In a non-basketball setting. We got extremely blistered. Drunk. And we followed that's that so game funny. To a T. Like, we were extremely diligent.
I love in this when no Troy's chance. Like, you gotta give me the basketball to ask her to fucking prom, guy.
Yeah.
Would you? Okay. That's sort of like being asked to prom, though, is a fucking nightmare.
In a public forum
like that?
Here's the thing. Fucking Chad and Taylor are already dating.
Right.
Obviously, she's gonna say yes. I think a public ask is fine if you know there's the person a yes. is gonna say yes.
Okay.
I mean,
but they're not as No. Well, I mean, like, I think the thing is, like, you look at their couple, they're cute, but I feel like they're not the couple everyone's as invested. Like, everyone loves Troy and Gabrielle in this movie. They're, like, all, like, hard eyes, you know what I mean? So, it's like, if they did it, it's fine. But, like, if it's, like, another couple that occupies so much space
in the
high school.
That's kind of rude, Jordan.
I don't want to see any couple making this huge move.
You think only the It couple should be allowed to do public for vote? That's
only them.
Wow.
No. But, like, I don't know.
I'm disappointed in you.
I'm a little disappointed in you, too.
No. I'm not literally saying that, but it's just I would be personally overwhelmed even if I was dating that person.
I'm into it.
Wow.
I mean, I just think, okay, I think we need to take a step back here for a second, because we are talking about a public speaking act in a film defined by public singing. This is not the world that we live in.
What do you mean? Come on.
This is not how life works.
I want life to work like this, though.
Yeah, I know.
That just makes me think of the SNL sketch when Zac Efron hosted, and he was like, guys, did you know that we're the only singing high school in the United States? And everyone is like, what? He's like, I know.
Sorry, I haven't watched this. Okay.
It's a great sketch, like, and I think what is so good about it is that it basically places the world of High School Musical in a slightly alternate reality where everyone is aware how often everyone breaks into song, as opposed to a suspension of disbelief situation. They're like, no, this is all in universe.
That rules. It's so good.
And they're just a bunch of weirdos.
It's really good.
So funny.
It's great.
You know who was shafted, though, from getting a date was fucking Zeke, because Zeke started dating Sharpay in the first one and girl dropped him like a stone.
But who does she go to prom with?
Still him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but like they were dating.
Yeah.
Because... I think so. Huh. Or did she go alone?
No. Here's the problem. Because they have to pair everyone off boy, girl.
Yes.
Now, sometimes they pair Ryan and Sharpay off, which is obviously awkward. But with the Ryan and Kelsey situation, they have to keep pairing Sharpay with Zeke. And they do that in like a lot. They do that in a lot of High School Musical 2. They even do it at the end of High School Musical 1.
Yes. Like, no, High School Musical 1, he's like creme brulee. And she's like, blah, blah.
Yeah. Those are like the pairings that happen in the dance numbers. Like it's always Sharpay and Zeke and Ryan and Kelsey.
He gives her hard eyes in this.
I think we can assume that they are technically still seeing each other.
So they're like kind of dating.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe they're just friends with benefits sort
he's
of thing.
He's just a low priority.
It'll just be more low key.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he's low on the priority.
Her other shit out first.
Right.
And then she'll see if she has time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if we're just talking about dating within the High School Musical world, is Gabriella the first person that Troy has ever dated or not?
Yes.
Really?
They are each other's first kiss, first time, first everything.
They definitely fucked in the treehouse.
They never break up. They get married. They have 7 children. They live in Troy's
Albuquerque.
Parents' house.
Do you know what? I don't know. I think...
Troy gets caught up in the Breaking Bad meth world.
No, I think they break up as soon as they're at different schools. I do think that's their whole thing. Like, they are so tied up within their school and within being each other's first, everything within that bubble and within that franchise, that the second that they're apart,
they can't
do it. They'll be like, oh, people don't sing here. Oh.
we can't. Shit, what do I fucking do?
Oh, we just have to talk to each other. Oh, I don't have to wait, like, fucking 45 days to kiss you.
It is
I know that these are Disney Channel films, I understand that, but
Ella wants fucking and kissing on screen.
We're answering the important questions.
Yes.
It's just hilarious how, like, I find the bit in High School Musical 3, like, with the picnic, like, when he literally climbs up the tree, brings a chocolate-covered strawberries, and then he puts his cheek out for a kiss, and then turns his face, not to kiss her on the lips, but to kiss her cheek. I'm like, what? I beg, are you joking? Are you actually kidding? And then the fact that, also, sorry, this film is 2 hours long, which I think is ridiculous. It's too long.
I'm just going to say it. It's too long.
Because in this film, it takes them an hour and a half to kiss.
Hey, it took them two movies to kiss before this.
Wait, do they not kiss on New Year's in the opening?
They do not kiss in High School Musical 1. The first time that they kiss is the very end of High School Musical 2. And Gabriella does her little, oh my God, it's raining thing like three times in High School Musical 2 and again in this one where they are so close to kissing and something stops them and she just runs away. It happens an insane amount of times. But yeah.
Also, okay, this is gonna start to become a bit of an uncouth podcast. Okay. I have an issue with Gabriella's whole like rain thing because she basically goes from being it's the rain thing, but it's a broader way that Gabriella Montez has these like primal reactions to things, which I just think is not right. It's the way that like in High School Musical 2, when she's in the rain, she's like, she's giggling like a baby dolphin or something. It's like a very specific kind of animal and it's a small animal and it's just not the sound that a human makes, and I don't really understand why. But then my issue is then that in the third film, when she's reacting to like very normal things, like it sounds like she's having sex.
Vanessa Hudgens is a very like breathy actress.
Very breathy.
Especially in the early years. And I think a lot of her stuff ends up feeling, if not overtly sexual, a bit suggestive.
Yes.
It's just a bit inappropriate. It's like when they're in her room having the picnic and she has that chocolate covered strawberry, the sound she makes. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to replicate that sound. Absolutely not. And then it's just hilarious that she makes that sound like of the most like guttural pleasure eating that strawberry.
And yet they're not kissing.
Yeah. And then he like kisses her on the cheek and leaves. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yes. It's like the movies want to be horny, but they can't be horny. But like, so you, it's like seeping through. I think also because they're older and they're dating at this time too.
Yeah.
So there's like even more of a charge between them, but they can't actually like weaponize that on screen. Yes. You know what I mean?
And all power to like Vanessa Hudgens being sexy. But I think she has like this certain, especially kind of like in this middle ground where she's still playing a teen, but she's a little older and she's kind of like living a slightly risque real life that like becomes very sex kitten-esque.
Yeah.
It just kind of is how she acts. And like you watch her screen tests from High School Musical 1 and she's fucking adorable, but she's like 16 in that.
Yeah.
And
I mean, by this, what would they probably in their 20s, right?
This is 2008, so yeah, they're like early 20s.
Yeah. I mean,
so I believe me, I agree. I have, when I was younger, I was of course obsessed with Gabriella Montez because she has it all. She's super talented. She's super smart. She gets the boy.
She
has absolutely no flaws. She is just a perfect straight A.
Her style's
student.
Not bad.
Her style is horrible. Everyone's style in this, I think.
Though there's one character.
No, in High School Musical 3, it's quite good.
She's the boho influences are
except,
coming in.
Except,
yeah, I love it.
Except for the men, because this is the worst. This is like the Abercrombie bad era for male dressing, because they all have the fucking plaid, like, shorts where they're not like plaid, but they're like each.
Yes.
Like they're patchwork shorts.
Yeah.
And they're wearing like a very bad polo with it. And it like triggered my high school like deep seated memories that like I would wear those things. And we all would. So it was very bad and repressed. The only person of the guys, like Troy has decent style, but like probably like Ryan's the only other one who's like kind of throwing fits.
I mean, Ryan is kind of at the other end of the spectrum. Right. The man is wearing shorts and knee socks. And
Jason has the worst where he's like, I'm going to wear jeans to prom. You're like,
Jason,
come on.
Fucking sucks.
Jason's the worst.
Dumb.
They also do tailor extremely dirty fashion-wise in this movie.
The fucking ties and everything.
She used to have a normal style. And then in this one, they like can't figure out what to do for her. Mm-mm. And they just, the hair is bad. The clothing, it's all bad.
Chad also has terrible outfits too. All of his shirts are like some sort of like
all he
thing.
Wants to be wearing is his basketball stuff.
Yes.
Those shoes that he has when he goes to ask Taylor to prom are like hiking boots.
Yeah. Oh, and also the fact that his tux for prom has his basketball number on the back of it is amazing. To me, that is camp. I'm just going to say it.
Why don't
I feel
all the boys,
like,
they're so scared of skinny jeans and pants? So it was like that like kind of
we
queer
were
fear
all
at time.
Scared of skinny jeans.
I know.
At this time.
I know.
What was I going to say? Something about Gabriella. Oh, Fitz. I was going to say that I was obsessed with her when I was like younger. I think I like looked up to her as a character. But the older I get, the more she just is so unimaginably boring. Yeah. And
who
like,
do you look up to now?
Sharpay, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, no question.
Justice for Sharpay.
Ryan, if we're going to be real, Ryan is just like the best.
Ryan's
so good. I think is undoubtedly the most morally good character out of everyone.
Yeah.
Kelsey?
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. No, Ryan. Yeah, it's got to be Ryan.
Kelsey is too much of a pushover, you know?
Oh, and I feel Kelsey. Like Kelsey could be a little bit insidious because I feel like you see it in High School Musical too when she gets a little bit snappy.
Yeah.
Like, whereas Ryan, I don't think he could ever be snappy with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's just a good boy. And so it makes sense that Kelsey and Ryan agree to mutually beard for each other in high school because both of them are coming out the second they step foot on a liberal arts college campus.
Yes.
Because I thought that it always made sense to pair them off that way. They're both the most talented. They're both the ones that are like overlooked. Mm-hmm. They're both definitely queer. It fits. It makes sense.
Yeah.
And you let the dramatic straight people have the spotlight.
Yeah. Sharpay is, I think, done a little dirty in this one, though. I feel like she gets less screen time and plot time than she normally does.
But her character is so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
like, she is the worst in number two.
Oh, my God.
And I feel like, in a way that can kind of take away from how good a performance Ashley Tisdale is, that her name? I feel like in a way that can almost take away from how good her performance is, because she's just so insufferable, which obviously comes from like insane commitment from the actor. But in this film, I don't really understand what she's up to, and I quite like that. It's like it kind of starts, she kind of wants to steal the duet between Troy and Gabriella. And then she kind of does, but also she doesn't do it. Like, Gabriella was going to leave anyway. So that's not a result of Sharpay meddling,
right?
Like, at all. So it kind of just happens. And then it's like, is she going to have a romance with Rocket Man? Like, she's not. Sorry. I realized that as soon as I said it. But I was like, maybe. Like,
he
you
wants
know,
to have a romance
thing,
with her.
Thing, yeah, and then there's the whole thing with her assistant, and it's all just, but I kind of like it because I feel like, and I haven't seen the film, but I feel like it's setting up Sharpay's wider world with all of the different things, you know, that she's got going on and the different
would
things
you say
she cares
a fabulous
about.
Adventure, perhaps?
I would say that this is potentially setting up something of a fabulous adventure for her.
It's a good
Whereas
call.
I feel like with the second film, yeah, it is like such a focused mission, which makes sense in terms of a narrative and a character to follow, whatever. But like,
in terms of narrative structure,
whatever that is. But you know, like as a human being, I find her more interesting than the third one. And like, and you don't hate her. Like, she's not less Sharpay because I Want It All is unbelievable.
Yeah. Her fits
like
incredible.
It manages to be the peak of Sharpay while also toning her down enough to just kind of fit in. And somehow that ends up being a little bit of a good thing, I think.
Yes. I think that, weirdly, this film tries to split the difference between Sharpay's previous character, where she's jealous of Gabriella because of Troy, and what is a better version of her character, which is her and the Tiara Gold thing. Like, what... Right. what was always annoying about the Sharpay, Troy, Gabriella pseudo love Thrubble. Triangle is that Gabriella does not give a fuck. Gabriella yeah. is just magically talented because she's a nice person.
Yeah. And she will just walk away. Yeah. Like, she doesn't care.
She doesn't care. She'll come back always in the nick of time, but like she is just magically good at the things that she needs to be good at the moment in time. And that is very frustrating to Sharpay. So I think that like giving Sharpay an adversary who actually wants to be her adversary is the correct choice.
Yes.
But because it's a new character, I feel like they kind of have to weirdly split the difference and give you like, well, we still need Sharpay to kind of be the villain of the story.
Right.
We still kind of need to worry about Troy and Gabriella, even though we don't. It's college is pulling them apart. It works just fine. I think that... her desire to try and steal the spotlight from Gabriella and Troy specifically doesn't work in this movie.
Yeah.
But I do agree that she's like a fascinating character and everyone's always like, Sharpay is like the real hero of High School Musical. But her ambition is what is the most interesting about her. So like give her someone who actually wants to steal the ambition instead of someone who just happens to magically show up.
Right.
Yeah, it's way more interesting.
Yeah.
Gabriella doesn't really like, she doesn't care. She very rarely interacts with her.
And the second she does care, she will just disengage. So like she will just ruin any kind of injury because she's like, I don't want to be part of this.
Yeah.
This is a narrative I'd like to be removed from.
She actually kind of has impeccable coping mechanisms in that if someone is being, confrontational with her, she just pieces out.
Bye.
Like she leaves.
Yeah.
I would say not great though in the sense of like a romantic partner where your partner is just basically like, yeet out of here. Bye. Never talk to me again. You're like, Gabriella, just wait. She went to this program and left me, didn't say bye?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so... It's so fucking funny.
Like, I would be heartbroken.
It's so mental. Like, how does she do that? How does she get away with that? Where she's just like, oh, actually, I can't be fucked. Like,
basically.
It's so brutal.
Like, she's like, I always walk away, Troy. And I'm like, Gabriella, you don't have to, though.
You don't have to. Who's telling you that you have to?
Have you ever tried to look at yourself? It's like, there's something maybe wrong with you. You need to kind of talk to someone about this.
You need to stop in a field, like a golf course. You have to stare at a reflection and sing to your reflection in the water and hope your reflection sings back to you.
The thing is,
just hope
you recognize it. Troy always has these like very angsty ballads about coming to terms with himself.
Yes.
And Gabriella's solo ballads are always kind of about like
how she can't make
the love work. And it's like, girl, maybe you need to take a cue from your boyfriend and look inward. Think about yourself.
Some therapy.
I kind of feel like if Gabriella was a meme, she would be that old guy who's looking at you just like, guess I'll die. Like, that's just her. She's like, I will walk away or die.
Yeah.
And I feel like Troy would be the woman surrounded by the math symbols because he just is so stressed and conflicted.
He always looks
at
like
every
that.
Moment.
But it's a basketball and a musical note.
Yeah, it's just
note.
A basketball, a musical note. The bi flag is like superimposed in the background.
Am I going to need to make this?
Break out the Photoshop, so Jordan.
I do love that Gabriella's mom gets so much more screen time in this movie than any of the other movies. She's just always there, but she doesn't really give a fuck though. She's like, oh, am I interrupting something? And they're just like on a hammock and you're like, a talk? Were they fucking and kissing? You're not interrupting anything.
Yeah, it's so funny to imagine that conversation in real life. Like, if my parents would like knock on the door and me and my boyfriend would be there, imagine if we just looked at them without saying a word.
Right.
And they'd be like, are you interrupting something? And we'd still stay silent until somebody said,
homework.
Right. You're like,
like, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
It really doesn't.
Why? Like, and no, she's not interrupting anything. They haven't fucked in three films. Like, of course not. She hasn't even kissed her on the cheek yet. What would you be interrupting?
There's absolutely nothing hot and heavy even implied in this movie. Like, Troy fully sneaks into a girl's bedroom to, like, have a picnic with her. But it's
so funny that there's so much anger in this film and yet there's so little like
actual
sexual
chemistry
in any way.
It's hilarious and I kind of love it because it is the Disney thing, like you want all the romance of a boy like throwing rocks at your window and sneaking into your bedroom, but like you stop after you kiss Chase Lee on the lips. Right. Like that. It's like all of like the swooning romance, but none of the actual.
It's also
like,
just hilarious. Like, have they ever met a teenager?
No.
No. I mean,
like, can I introduce you to the concept of puberty? Like, are you aware of what hormones do?
There's more hormones, like, on the behind-the-scenes drama than, like, across all three films.
Honestly.
Yes. I think that, technically, High School Musical 2 is maybe, like, the horniest, if we're picking one.
Oh, 100%.
100%. Yeah. That movie actually, like, has some spice to it. But I think that...
Chad and Ryan are trying to fuck on a baseball
field.
Yeah.
It's true. It's fascinating because, so, clean teen is still very much, like, a genre that people want. And that, like, gets numbers. So there's still, like, you know, kids and teenagers who want this very clean stuff, which is good. You know, don't grow up too fast. All of that stuff. But, like, it is interesting to look at, like, the vast differences in which teenagers are portrayed.
Yeah.
Based on what kind of show or movie you're making.
Yeah.
Imagine High School Musical existing in the Euphoria universe.
That's the thing. That's like...
No.
No.
Chad is just doing lines in the bathroom.
No. Protect them.
Protect them. Protect them. Like, honestly, I think that it's such a weird age to be, and there's so much shit that they're figuring out. And, like, a part of, like, the whole clean teen package is, like, they put what people are figuring out into these very clean, like, identity boxes. Do I want to play basketball? Do I want to do musical theater? Do I want to go to college near my boyfriend or far away from him? Like, they make the decisions very, very easy when in reality, when you are 16 or 17, those feel like the biggest decisions in the world, and there's no way that you can ever figure them out.
Yeah. I mean, I think the most romantic thing that we see is honestly between Troy's dad and his mom, where he's like looking in from his fucking treehouse, but he sees the dad like come from behind the mom, and there's like a little like intimacy
between
them.
It's adorable.
It's like very it's cute, so cute and like adult for a moment. You know what I mean? Yeah. But that's about it. It's the dad's best performance, though, of the three, I would say.
He's really good at this.
When he comes in and Chad and Troy are like getting their last moments in the gym, like, I got a little emotional there. You know?
Oh, Jordan admitted that he cried during.
I cried during the whole third act. I was a fucking mess.
I didn't cry. I don't know why. I think I was just enjoying hearing the songs again so much that, like, all of the talking, but I was just waiting. I was a child again. I was just waiting for the next bit where I could sing along.
Yes. Yeah. Although this movie does have high production value, and I think is arguably less deranged, maybe, than the previous two, there are a couple moments that are really gold.
Do you know what I wanted to say?
Yes.
Because I saw a note that I had this. The chastity and, like, the clean teenness reminds me of that, like, Mormon meme on TikTok going around where they talk about, like, we go to school, we get married, we don't have sex sort of a thing. Do you remember that? Like,
nope. No idea what you're talking about.
But there was like a thing going around on TikTok/Twitter about like Mormons and like chastity and dating and stuff like that. And this being shot in Utah, I feel like weirdly has thematic crossover with that.
I mean, this is New Mexico, right?
It's shot in Utah, meant to be New Mexico.
To be Albuquerque. Yeah. Okay, got you. I think clean teen is a very healthy genre.
No, for sure.
To have.
Yeah.
It's the romance. It's the romance of feeling like a teenager.
Yeah.
I don't think you necessarily need to have horniness. However, sometimes it sneaks its way in there.
What is your unhinged things you were thinking?
Well, the two big things that people always talk about are basically the Ryan and Kelsey business and the rotating hallway in Scream, which, as we all know,
Inception.
This film was released 2 years before Inception. Therefore, Kenny Ortega. I think that Christopher Nolan owes Kenny Ortega
a royalty
or two. But I just wanted to point out, this is the number one top review on Letterboxd from James. Great. I'm losing my fucking mind because during The Boys Are Back, Chad sings Just Like a Showdown, Will Smith and Bobby De Niro. As far as I know, the only film Will Smith and Robert De Niro have both appeared in is Shark Tale, where their characters have a showdown. I would have never thought about that, but I clocked that line and I was like, Will Smith and Bobby De Niro, what is he talking about? And then I went on Letterboxd and I was like, what else could this line be referring to?
Yeah.
Like, what sort of showdown?
But this is
are
also
they comparing themselves to young Will Smith and Robert De Niro? I have not stopped thinking about that
line. Also, there's like a really big age difference.
Yes.
I know. They're from different eras.
And also, this just proves why The Boys Are Back is the most insane number, because 2 minutes later, they're children dancing with each other.
Because, I mean, but that would imply that...
It's baffling.
That Zac Efron was... That Troy was like 40 in this.
It's... literally baffling. I have no idea why that line was written, what it refers to, what anyone was thinking while they're singing it. It haunts me.
Head empty.
They it can't actually know haunts me. About the shark no. tail line. Like, no. they can't. There's they can't. No fucking way.
I would agree with you. I'm inclined to agree with you, but then I have no answer for why that line is in there. It makes no sense. They don't need to rhyme it with anything.
It's so weird.
I swear to God. It lives in my mind rent-free.
Also, before that, though, they have like, the junkyard
so
guy.
Confused.
I'm still stuck on when they get there and there's the huge guy who's like, oh, yeah, my boys are back. Love seeing you guys down here to fix your car.
Like, who is that guy?
Like, you mean they came here all the time? This is the most out of character left pocket thing.
No, there is actually a through line in all three of the films of Troy being into fixing cars with his dad.
Really?
I remember this very strongly.
Oh, no,
because
and Chad is saving up for his car in the second one.
Yeah, and at one point, the three of them are fixing a car, and Chad just has a basketball inside the hood of the car while it's popped.
Of course he does,
like,
yeah.
That's his
normal.
Tool. Troy's in there with a wrench, and Chad's like, just me and my
basketball. Did you clock when they're running through the school in the workshop that there's like a Model T car that they're like fixing up there, and
that's
they have
cool.
cars from like the 50s? That makes no sense. This school, it makes no sense.
The school has always been extremely luxe, though, because they have the car shop in the first movie. Mm-hmm. Like, they have all these, it's a very wealthy public school and extremely clean. With painted lockers, it's great.
The hallways are always nice.
This is a fun fact that I feel like, Jordan, you will appreciate. Did you know that very early in development for this movie, it was supposed to be called Haunted High School Musical, and it was a Halloween-themed movie?
Fucking would have ruled.
I think that is an insane choice for the last film in the franchise.
Yeah. Oh, no. That would have been terrible. No, because it would mean that it would kind of make the second film like the last film by default, because that would be like where the main storyline ended, and then you'd have this like strange Halloween special.
Who do you think they would have dressed up as monsters? That's the real question.
That's the thing, is that they'd either have to do Disney properties, or it would just be kind of like generic
Frankenstein,
generic
Dracula
people.
Would have been so
I don't know.
Good.
The mind of Kenny Ortega. We'll never know.
Galaxy brain. Criterion. When? Should we go through? Are there any I guess we should talk about songs and moments that we might have.
Here we go.
We have to talk about it.
Now, Ella, I don't know how you feel about this, but in my opinion, I think in both of our opinions, it is essential that we rank the songs.
Of course, yes.
Oh my God. Okay. Oh, fucking hell.
No, it doesn't need to be everyone. I feel like you need your top like 3 to 5, right?
Okay.
I'm looking at the list now.
I have my list.
Go.
Yes.
I'm going to get the list, like the soundtrack.
Yes.
Off.
So. Okay. In my opinion, and I do think that although I like this movie, I would say of the three, it has the weakest songs.
What do you think has the best? I think the first one.
I say
has
High School
probably
Musical
the best. Yeah,
I think High School Musical 2 is superior in songs and in film
story. Mm-hmm.
Now I am open to disagreements. You think number one is the best in terms of songs?
Yeah, I think number three is the best for songs.
Whoa, look at that. We've got
it's
a
really hard
variety.
Like, I think it really depends. Like, each time I watch one, I'm like, oh, this is the best one. I think one is so permanently burned in my skull. I have like those songs so deeply entrenched. That's maybe why I have more of an affinity for that, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Come back to me about the ranking.
Okay. But I was going to say, I think that my number one song from this movie is I Want It All.
Okay.
That to me.
Yes, is great song.
Best number, what's your number two? And I'm a big fan of the Ryan and Sharpay numbers. Then
Huma Huma Nuka Nuka Apua.
Incredible. Then I think it's Can I Have This Dance?
Mm-hmm.
And then A Night to Remember, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
Then probably Now or Never, which I like. And I would honestly put, oh, and then High School Musical. High School Musical maybe is above Now or Never. Boys at the Back is obviously at the bottom. And controversial, I also think that Right Here, Right Now is at the bottom.
That's where we fight. I love Right Here, Right Now.
No, I don't like it.
I am not.
What?
No, I think it's fine. I think it's fine. But I think the bar is so much higher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Breaking Free can, like, when you look at what they have historically.
Look, they're soaring, they're flying. Yes. There's not a star in heaven that they can't reach.
I'm not a ballad girly. I'm especially not a Troy and Gabriella ballad girly.
I love a ballad.
You know? I'm all about the big numbers.
Is just, I don't have the words for, like, you having said that just now, I honestly, like, got a little rush just like remembering that it exists, and also just remembering that I haven't listened to it in a while, so I was just like, oh, I'm going to listen to it after this as a treat. Like, that's a little snack. How good I think that song is.
Yes.
But like, okay, right, the reason that I think that songs from this film are the best, I think it's because I said this earlier, when I hear a lot of these songs, I feel like I could hear them outside of the context of High School Musical, and they could kind of work on the radio.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I am saying I love them, but I'm also saying that I think they have wider appeal beyond being good songs within that world. So something like Can I Have This Dance? Like, gorgeous, like fucking any
romantic, any,
so romantic,
yeah, like, and also like Walk Away, same category. Like, again, I don't listen to Walk Away, but if I heard that on the radio, I'd be like, well done, Dua Lipa, like, that's nice that you did that. Scream is just like unbelievable. Scream, I'm telling you now, could be a Lewis Capaldi song, and I'd be like,
I am loving this.
You know what they should do is they should do that. They should like have a High School Musical release where they bring like star, like they did that with Hamilton, where like all the covers by like pop stars.
They did it with Greatest Showman.
What are we doing here, folks?
Yeah, no, it would be so good. And then what other ones? Yeah, and like, and again, like Now or Never, just like the testosterone, like, know there's enough of that in like mainstream pop, you know. Yeah, Scream, I think it's unbelievable. All of this together, fine, whatever. I just think that somehow my number one song, I think it has to be A Night to Remember.
Yeah, I'm loving that.
I'm not really happy. It's just because those bits that I was saying earlier have been lodged into my brain for so many years. Like, I think about the line about getting ready and about the corsage like 3 times a day, like for no reason. I'm not even thinking about High School Musical 3 or any High School Musical, and it's just there.
You're just
the cultural
it.
Lexicon.
And I'm just like getting ready, and then the bit when like Vanessa Hudgens like yells, what am I gonna do with my hair?
Yeah,
like I think that every time I wash my hair, and I don't know why. So that's going to be number one, unfortunately. And then, like, maybe Now or Never after that. Just because, like, not every part of the song, but when I see, like, the team, like, huddling at the start, and when Troy's, like, doing the pep talk, and like, when the, you know, when the lyrics actually have meaning, I'm like, oh, holy fuck. Like, it is Now. He's right.
It is Now or Never.
It is. So I'd go Night to Remember, Now or Never, Just Want to Be with You, because I just feel like Just Want to Be with You is, you could have that at every single moment of every single one of these films, and it would work. It's like, I kind of forgot that it was in this one as opposed to the second one, because like in the second one, it would be You Are the Music in Me. Like, yeah. That,
well, also
that's
a
where
good
that
song.
Incredible. And then High School Musical is great.
Beautiful.
It's just lovely. It's so peppy. It's just so good. Yeah. Like, I just,
they
can't
should let
stand
it go,
still.
Though.
Yeah.
When it's not. No. But
the absolute beauty of the last line of any High School Musical movie being the rest of our lives, like, I hope the rest of our lives feel like a High School Musical or yeah. whatever they say. I was like, that's poetry right there. It's poetry. So it rhymes. Cute. It's so cute.
I was like, do you wish that?
Right?
Do but you?
I believe that these characters
These teens do.
What sells me on the High School Musical franchise in general is that, of course, the world is unbelievable, but the characters within the world make so much sense that I fully buy that, like the SNL sketch, they are this weird outlier of teens.
Yeah.
Where they just believe this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with my three, and it's going to be, everyone's going to hate me. But, and I guess no one, I Want It All would be there.
Would it be number one though?
It's probably, I don't know. But like that, Can I Have This Dance? Just Want to Be With You / Right Here, Right Now, probably.
No.
Like the ballads. I'm a sap.
That's fine.
I'm sorry.
But Right Here, Right Now, you've already got three. So Right Here, Right Now.
Fine. I'll cut Right Here, Right Now.
Thank you.
So those
Ella.
Are my three.
There you go.
But there's the one moment in Scream when the fucking basketballs are all falling down.
Amazing.
It almost hit him, but don't hit him. Are so good.
Fucking sick.
The visuals.
The drama.
Kenny Ortega has vision.
What time do you think it was? Like, is he there at like 12 a.m.?
No, it's supposed to be like 9 p.m.
Okay.
Yeah, because Miss Davis is still there.
Yeah.
He was definitely at home, like, had dinner. Mm-hmm. He had dinner at, like, 7. It finished at 7:30. He sat down on his bed, and he was like, I'm stressed.
Down and listened.
You know what I could use right now? A basketball.
And so he got back up at, like, 7:45, maybe. And then I think he got to school at maybe, like, 8:10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then walked around a bit, thought he could figure stuff out, couldn't, screamed, tried to do it in talking, tried to go look at the set, tried to find anyone, and they weren't there. And he was like, oh, well, guess I'll sing. And then at like 8:45 started.
Boom.
Did you see the review where it was like Mrs. Darbus put her whole Darbussy into this?
I hate that you just said that
it's
line.
It's been ringing in my head
on
since
mic.
I logged it.
Thank you so
okay,
much for
another
that.
There's another Letterboxd review. I talked to you about this off mic, but I think we need to bring it up, where it goes through the cast and says if they're gay or evil, because this obviously is intrinsic to our podcast.
So do you know who said this?
No, I'll find it and I'll credit them somewhere.
Okay, because like basically the consensus is that everyone in High School Musical
is either gay
either
or evil.
Gay or evil.
Yes.
You can't be both and you can't be anything else.
Yes.
Other than that. Now, did the person in question rank them or did you personally?
No, the person
them?
In question wrote them. I want to go through and I think we have to say if we agree or not.
Okay.
Yes. Troy, gay.
Yes. Oh, okay. I have it.
Who was it?
Credit to Jackson. It's so weird that Letterboxd doesn't have like handles.
Great.
Credit to Jackson.
Jackson,
you're a real
T-Y-T-Y.
One.
T-Y-T-Y. Troy, gay, yes.
Yes.
Gabriella,
yes.
Evil?
Yes.
Yes.
She is evil.
Sharpay, evil. I say gay.
I say Sharpay, archfemme, lesbian.
Yes. Thank you.
Can she be both?
Por qué no los dos? Sure.
Is that why not both?
Yeah.
Okay. Clearly, I don't speak any Spanish at all.
Ryan, gay.
Obviously.
Yes. Chad, gay.
Yes. I would argue bisexual
legend.
Yeah, but
from the second film. Yeah,
exactly. Yes. Zeke, gay. Yes.
Yes, by default, because he's definitely not evil. He's a nice boy.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And he also, I relate the most to Zeke, so therefore Zeke is
he's a baker.
On the spectrum.
He's a baker.
Sorry, just to confirm, we only have Gabriella evil so far.
Yes.
So far.
Taylor, gay, very much so. I think she's gay.
First lesbian president of the United States. Let's fucking go.
Yeah. Kelsey, gay.
Obviously.
Sharpay's assistant, evil.
Yes.
Yes.
Troy's dad, they have his gay.
I say
think
evil.
Yeah.
Troy's dad is the worst.
He pretends to be supportive now.
But
then,
he's
like,
not.
No.
He's
he
not.
Tries to bully his son into going to a school he doesn't want to go to.
Yeah.
There's that whole scene, the dinner scene, where they're having dinner in the most clearly stage. Like living room maybe of all time.
Yeah. Gotta love, you know, cinema.
They love saving money.
Gotta love cinema.
Mrs. Darbus, gay.
Okay. Yes.
And then everyone else is gay or evil. I don't know. That's pretty much everyone though, right?
Yep. That's basically the squad.
So it's only Gabriella,
Troy's
dad.
Yes.
Wow. Yikes. Poor Troy.
He's surrounded by evil.
Here's the thing. Chad comes around a lot in this film. I could make an argument for him being evil in the first two films because he just will not leave Troy alone.
He's so toxic.
He's pretty toxic, but he is much better in this movie.
Yes, he's not doing the whole, you gotta come back to basketball. Yeah. What are you doing? Why are you being this way?
And the boys are back. Yeah. The boys are, in fact, back.
The boys were back.
So that's that.
God. Any other moments or scenes, Brooke?
I have nothing. Wow, this was a shockingly on-topic discussion of High School Musical 3: Senior Year.
Thank you for that. You're so welcome. Thank you for that. Yeah.
Do you have anything, Ella? Do you have?
I do. Yes. When it's the end credits and we're seeing the faces of all of them just like looking in the camera, they should have had the classic like Avengers Endgame signatures. Instead.
They actually. Yeah! Did you know that if you look though during the end credits when they're playing the bloopers, everyone signs a yearbook message in character.
Oh fuck! Really?
Yes.
Okay, I did not notice that
in their own handwriting, but they like signed Gabrielle Montez.
But you're right. But when they show their faces,
the curtain call.
Basically. Yeah, like the curtain call. Yeah, because I was surprised. I'd forgotten. Like, I remember they did that, but I forgot that the names didn't come up. I don't know what, like, yeah.
It feels weird that the names don't come up, you know?
It's also just so funny that, like, in those moments, they're like, go on, act. Go on, then.
Look at the camera.
Acting.
Give us that Demi close-up.
Here's the thing.
You're doing so much.
I think it actually works. I don't know if they were.
Yeah, it does work.
I don't know if they were having. I would assume. Listen, if I was Kenny Ortega and I was doing this, I would have that be the very last thing that I shot, so that you're getting the reactions of people being on screen for the last time. Especially,
they would have definitely done that in order.
Especially Corbin Blue. I was like, is this man tearing up right now? Like, he looks like legitimately like moved.
No, it works.
He and Ryan Lucas Gabriel feel like they had the most attachment to the franchise of everybody.
I mean, they're the best characters, so it's understandable. Yeah. The only other thing that I wanted to say is that we have talked in previous High School Musical episodes and also in this one about how, like, Ryan is obviously very coded as gay and is kind of like, there was a sort of, I don't want to say it was an argument because it didn't really get that far, but there was some desire between Lucas Gabriel and Kenny Ortega to make Ryan like out and gay in this movie and the franchise in general. And Disney was like, absolutely fucking not. So basically what they landed on is like, we all know that Ryan's gay. He's going to come out in college. He doesn't feel the need to label himself right now. And that was kind of like how they played it and shot it and all that good stuff. But there is a very good blooper from this movie of Lucas Gabriel leaning over and kissing the guy that plays Zeke during graduation.
Brooke, you held on to this for the whole episode?
Oh my goodness.
I will do my best to find it, but I remember it very clearly. I thought for a minute it was going to be in the end bloopers of like the actual credits, but it's not.
Wow.
But yeah, it exists. It's really cute and like kind of like jokey, but in a cute way.
Well, I feel like that's how he would do it too. He'd be like, I'll give you a quick
fun kiss. He basically just leans over and is like,
Yeah.
It's cute. Yeah.
That's so tender.
So there you go. And I think, like, you know, for a lot of like young queer kids, especially queer boys who are into musical theater, like Ryan is and will always be an icon of the stage. Yeah. He never, although like he does have to put up with Sharpay's shit for three movies, this is a man who never is not exactly who he wants to be.
Yeah.
And he is recognized for it and gets a scholarship to Juilliard because of it. And I just like that is a really cool fucking thing. And I think like, especially at a time, not to be like too real about fucking High School Musical, but especially during a time when there wasn't a ton of that on screen, much less like on this clean teen super Disneyfied channel, it's cool.
No,
and I mean, I think he's a legend.
It impacted, I think, I mean, like for me, it was definitely an impact because it was like, oh, you can have your sports love and you can also love musicals. And it's like, oh, cool. Like, that's what I want to be and do growing up. Like, that's important for like men and like boys to realize like you don't have to be like thrust into like the classic male stereotypes. Like, it's okay to break out and be something different, you know, and
you
like
can have
things.
It all.
Yeah.
You can have it all.
High School Musical, net positive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No question.
So we know how well this movie did, yes?
Yes. Like I said at the beginning, $274 million worldwide. That is crazy. It made its budget back like eight times over.
Jesus.
And it opened in October of 2008. It opened at number one. It beat out the latest Saw installment to like open at number one. And it stayed playing through January.
It was in, Brooke, you have to say how many theaters?
3,600 theaters.
That's,
oh my god!
That's nuts.
It made $42 million on its opening weekend, and it held the record for like biggest musical opening for a long time until Les Mis.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
And yeah, it let's see, biggest opening ever for a movie musical specifically until Pitch Perfect.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So this thing. This Legs. Thing was hella popular. And of course, like, this was the biggest, one of the biggest events of, like, 2008. If
I
you
can't
were
believe I didn't see it at theaters.
Target age. I can't believe you didn't either. I mean, I didn't because I lived in the middle of nowhere.
This
but
is the
Ella,
only
like,
thing I remember happening in 2008. Like, there was just no doubt. I don't think I did anything else in 2008.
It is wild that this comes out in 2008, and also in 2008 you get The Dark Knight and you get Iron Man. And so it's, like, literally, like, culture shifts. So
I didn't
much
see
in
either
2008.
Of those in cinemas.
Well, there we go.
There you go.
This is where the lines were drawn.
I'm going to send this GIF somehow in the Zoom chat.
Oh, whoa. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. We're going to text it to you so that Ella can see it.
You need to see this.
Oh, my God.
Damn, he goes for it.
It's great.
They should have kept that.
I'm a big fan.
That's so brutal.
We will tweet about it. Wow. I have never forgotten that.
No, yeah. That's great. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, speaking of that,
how do we think the cultural legacy of this movie has lasted on Letterboxd?
This was a tough one. I feel like it's hard. I don't know for you guys. It's so hard for me to like rate these movies or movies from my childhood where it's like, I clearly love this movie. But like, if you like, I'm trying to think about it from like a rating, like objectively POV. But it's so hard to not get personal with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I think you should vote with your heart, but I can't promise that
the
people
the
of the
Letterboxd community vote with their heart. With yes.
You.
I'm going to say that probably not what I would give it versus what they would give it. I'm going to be kind of low. I'm going to go with like a 3-3.
Ella, would you care to put in a guess?
For the Letterboxd average?
Yes. Not required.
I'd go lower. It'd be like a 3 or a 3-1.
It is a 3-1.
Hey.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
There's a very strong 5-star.
I was going to say there has to be a
rating,
little army.
But most people give it 3 stars.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there's a very strong 5-star army. And guys, 275,000 people have watched this movie. That's kind of a lot.
That's nuts.
Yeah. I do think it has the lowest average of the 3. Let's see. But not by much. Wait. Okay, yes. So technically High School Musical and High School Musical 3 are tied at a 3.1. High School Musical 2 are running away with a 3.2.
Wow. Taking the lead.
It's crazy.
People bet
That's
on
so funny.
It.
But now it's time for us to give our, actual queer rankings. Mm-hmm. So on a scale of 1 to 5 stars, how queer do we actually think this film is?
Yes.
Now,
where do you land?
I looked back at our High School Musical 2 episode.
What
we all
we
gave it?
It
3.5 stars.
Okay.
On the QQ.
Okay.
I'm going to give this one 2.5 stars.
Okay.
Mm. I do not think it is as gay. Mm-hmm. I do think Ryan and Kelsey and the conclusion of Troy Bolton's epic bisexuality arc are great. And the Busby Berkeley number is amazing. And
yes.
I think there's lots of like little fun stuff like that. But on the whole, it just doesn't permeate in the same way as the first
queerness.
Two.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting? This is the theatrically released one.
I think that does say
do
something.
Do we think there's a correlation?
Yes, I
do.
100%.
Who knows?
Yeah.
So I
More
give it 2.5
studio
stars.
Meddling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that does feel right. I want this one to be gayer than it is. And it's just, it is inherently not. It's way more about Troy and Gabriella's relationship. And like, everything happening on the sides just isn't as inherently gay as you want it to be.
But it could be less gay.
That's true.
You know?
Miss Darbus, like every queer kid had a Miss Darbus conversation at some point or wanted to have that, you know? So that's important. And it is like a bisexuality dilemma. But like, ultimately, we don't have any sequences like the baseball scene in High School Musical 2.
Unparalleled.
That will never be topped.
Yeah.
Quite literally.
Ha ha ha.
So I'll go with a 2.5 as well.
Boom. Ella, how are you feeling?
5.
I think I'd go for a 2.
Yeah. Mm.
Just because I think, like, I'm definitely finding it, I'm thinking it's more queer, like, obviously, the more we've spoken about it, and my eyes have been opened. but I do, now, I like, while watching it, I did try and look for the signs, and I was just like, it's just really straight. And because of how romantic it is, I think because of how horribly romantic the straight relationship is, by default, that kind of like pushes the balance off a bit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always, but in this case it definitely
does. Which is a shame. It does make it just very straight in the like, I'm not happy about how aspirational it is. I don't want to like want to be straight because of this film. But you know, throwing every other kind of do that.
How many straights were made because of High School Musical 3?
Honestly, actually, a great question.
Like, you know, because I'd let you know what if you watch this in 2008 and you're not sure about your sexuality and you see Troy and Gabrielle on your big screen, you're like, well, fuck, like that's that's the answer.
That is the answer.
God, it's I can't argue with that.
That's I'm not happy about it. No, but it is the sorry. Yeah. Like,
it's a little disappointing.
But
I'm sorry.
I think that this franchise lives on in infamy for the gays and the queers alike.
In fame. Yeah.
It wants
to live forever.
It's a classic. It's a classic for a reason. Yeah. And I will always rewatch them. And I do think like the fun and the camp element is so high across all three of them. Yeah. And Kenny Ortega, like openly gay director, doing shit that like changed all of our childhoods. It's amazing.
Where would you put, now we've come to the end of the three, what's the quick ranking?
My personal ranking, I think, is 2-1-3, but only because one has a greater nostalgia factor for me than three. Mm. If I'm being really, really discerning, maybe it's 2-3-1, but to me that doesn't feel quite right.
Okay.
So I think I'm going to stick with 2-1-3, but know that there is some inherent bias in there.
Ella?
I just think impulsively I have to say 3-2-1.
I think that that is so valid. Like, there's really no wrong answer.
Yeah, yeah. I just, because like two has, it has a lot of strong moments, but so much of it is so ridiculous. Like, it is the biggest pantomime out of all of them. And I think like you can only have that because you've got that like self-contained time frame. They're just going completely wild, and it just makes, a lot of it makes no sense.
No.
And I feel bad for saying what, to be honest, there's not much in it for me. Like, they're all kind of, you know, it's all the same thing. They're all very much, like, you can't have one without the other. But I think one would have to be lowest for me just because I think they all became better actors.
Yeah.
And I just think there's lots, like, Breaking Free is the only part that I would kind of take out of the first film to, like, protect and hold on to as my favorite, like, anything.
You're not getting your head in the game?
No, I find that quite cringe. Like, I think that's why I like Now or Never so much, because I feel like that's what Get Your Head in the Game was trying to do.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just feel like so many things that initially I was impressed by in the first one, there's just a more like sophisticated there's just like a more sophisticated version of it, like in the third film. Like, just like When There Was Me and You, I find it so embarrassing. Oh, I hate it.
I also hate that song.
Oh, it's so cringe.
Yeah.
And then just like, how did When There Was Me and You become Gotta Go My Own Way? Like, the jump there, just, it's just so much better.
Yep.
God, fuck.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah. Jordan, what do you think? 3-2-1. We got a 3-2-1. And a 2-1-3.
They're like all the same.
You're the one that asked this question, my guy.
I would probably go.
Vote with your heart. With your heart. Your heart and your soul.
I think, like, probably same as you, with like a 2-1-3.
Wow. But like, we both have three at the bottom.
If I'm being like objective, it might be.
Objective.
2-3-1.
I would say that I think you like three more than one.
I need to rewatch one, I think.
One is not very good. It's a classic, but it's not.
Okay. So I'll go 2-3-1.
2-3-1.
I'll go 2-3-1.
Yeah.
Yeah. That feels right. I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah.
It is the most insane trilogy though. Like having a third film be this much higher budget. And not this, much higher
the
budget.
The stakes like, so yeah. much higher.
It's like you never like Shrek 3 is like the, like trilogies usually go down. They yeah. don't go yeah. up like this. Yeah. You know, yeah. it's kind of an outlier yeah. franchise. So yeah.
It's awesome.
Wow, what a weird movie.
It's honestly, truly, thank you so much for choosing it yeah. and bringing your expertise to the table.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
We appreciate
it. I can't believe we've done this. I've been waiting since 2008 to do this.
The movie came out, you're like, I'm going to be on a podcast, and I know I'm going to talk about this movie.
I didn't know what a podcast was, but I was like, I'll be on one.
So we were like, one day.
You invented them in that moment.
Oh, so good.
Oh, God. Thank you so much for being here.
The best.
Yes, you are, in fact, the best. And if people don't know your work, which they obviously should, what are you up to and where can people find you?
What am I up to? I edit some places. I edit the film section at The Quietus. I edit the editorial platform for Girls on Tops. I edit the editorial platform for Massive Cinema, which is a UK-based film place. God, I'm selling it well. awesome.
It's the East High of film publications.
It is. That's exactly what it is. The East High film publications. And I also write for NME, I write for Empire, I write for Letterboxd, I write for Cast, I don't know, other places. IndieWire, I don't know, I write places.
Hell yeah.
And yeah, what am I working on at the moment? Don't know really. When's this coming out?
This is coming out November 4th. So whatever okay, you'll be working on in about a month.
Okay, London Film Festival will be over. A very big interview that I did will have just come out. I can tell you what it is if you want.
Would love, yeah. Yes.
If you are near a newsstand that perchance sells Vogue Australia,
hello.
You will be able to read my interview with Alex Turner of Arctic Monkeys.
Very cool.
Hell yes.
Very cool. Talk
yeah,
about
I've
a formative band.
Let's not. Yeah. Oh, which album was coming? Oh, shit, I'm pretty sure The Favorite Worst Nightmare came out in 2008 as well. Mm-hmm. I need to check this.
Yeah.
Big year for me. Big year. I need to confirm this. But yeah, I have been sitting on that news for a very long time. I spoke to him in July.
Oh my God.
Nobody knew that the album existed. And it was a very strange time.
That's cool great. As hell.
Lovely man. Very lovely man.
Oh,
love to hear that.
Love to hear.
So their first album came out in 2006.
Oh my God. So fucking old.
Oh no, we're so old.
Oh no, so Favorite Worst Nightmare was 2007.
Mm. Okay.
But 2008 would have been when I was like really
getting into it. It's when it's in circulation.
It.
Yes, of course.
Yes. Like, oh yeah. Oh my God. So there was Favorite Worst Nightmare 2007, Humbug in 2009. So that means that in 2008... they were taking a year off to watch High School Musical 3 / Senior Year.
Mm-hmm.
And get the inspiration mm-hmm. for
yes,
their next
they, yes.
work.
We love
obviously.
A respectful cinephile.
Oh my God, absolutely.
Obsessed.
It's top four on their letterbox.
The Arctic Monkeys letterbox.
Right, yeah, the group.
Well, that's cool as hell. Literally can't wait
that
to
rocks,
read it.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Obsessed. We are also on social media, for better or for worse.
Not as cool.
I'm on Twitter at Brooke V. Solomon.
Jordan H. Gus.
And we're together at Queer Quadrant. And we're also on Letterboxd at Brooke V. Solomon.
Jordan H. Gus.
And you can find the podcast on Spotify and on Apple and wherever else you get your podcast. East High, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
If you're feeling generous, drop us a rate. 5 basketballs only.
Ooh, baby.
A review of the East High Wildcats. A subscribe.
Get your head in the game.
Get your head in the game. And you can also tweet at us. Tell us what you think about the iconic trilogy that is High School Musical 3. Help us tweet at Criterion to release Kenny Ortega's entire filmography. And let us know what you might like to see us cover in the future.
Brooke, what are we covering in the future?
Well, listen, we're going camp to camp.
Ooh, baby.
Let's just say. Next week, we are covering the Brady Bunch movie. An Ooh. Absolutely crazy film
sure.
that is so much campier than you would have ever expected. That episode's already in the can and it's really good. And it is
what a time.
There's so much more than you could have ever expected.
It's nuts. Yes.
It's nuts. So you can look out for that.
And is there anything you'd like to leave our Wildcats with?
Sharpay Evans innocent. I stand by it.